Dear Heavenly Father, you hold the stars in place. And yet the numbers of my hair are numbered by you. You've made the galaxy, and yet a sparrow does not fall without you knowing. How it works, we don't know. Can we just give you glory and praise and honor? From the biggest detail in this galaxy to the most minute thing, it's all under your providence. Can we give you glory and honor and praise? Lord, humble us here today. Plow deep the ground in our hearts. Fertilize, water, seed, grow, tend us, and bring us into a harvest. Your harvest, Lord God. Lord, I pray that our lives, every detail of them, each day would grow more to become like you. Remove our own individual kingdoms that we may serve your kingdom, the only kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys like that song? I joked in the first service that we'd just sing that again and that would be the teaching. I'm Chris Welch, one of the elders here at Winter Park Christian Church, if you're new or visiting. And I'm glad that you are here. Title for the teaching today is Sowing for a Harvest. And I thought that this was a good time coming out of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving representing a harvest, being thankful for what we've been given. And I hope that you had a time of abundance this last week, a time of feasting, a time of joy, a time of relaxation. And if you're like me, some of you had some time of testing with family. That's okay too. I hope you had a chance this past week for time to reflect on the abundant blessings from God in your life. Even if you are not a farmer who planted many months ago, who has recently brought in your harvest or still working on it, I believe we can all benefit from taking a moment and reflecting and looking into the works, the ways, the means, the ins, the outs of sowing and reaping. It seems like a good time of year to reflect on seeds that have been sown, harvests that are done, and the hope of the one true harvest to come. In our life group this last year, actually more than that, we've been studying the book of Hosea after one of our group members suggested that we should try studying the minor prophets. And we all set out on this course thinking we'd go through all the minor prophets in a week or two. Well, we just finished Hosea and it took over a year. And it's a wonderful book, this small but insightful book. It's full of God's steadfastness, His patience, His kindness, His constant provision, His oversight, His providence, His justice, His wrath, His mercy, and His call to repentance. And I don't know about the rest of my group, but I was constantly reminded, though I personally play the whore, the adulterer, and forsake my Savior every single day by putting on countless idols before me, He is there waiting for me to repent. To turn away from this world, to turn away from my flesh, to come back and repent. And it begs the question of His people in this book, the Israelites, the chosen ones. Repent, even though you are chosen. Is this just for the Israelites or is this for the Christians today? Is repentance for the new believer that one time he or she hears and sees and knows that Christ is good and everything that he's done? Or is and should repentance be the daily life of a Christian? Is repentance for everyone around me, all those people that are outside these walls that you see on the news or in the grocery store? Or is repentance for me in my house and this church? And though repentance is one major theme, and there are many, and I encourage you to study this book, one of the verses that really stuck out to me during our last group teaching was chapter 8, verse 7 in Hosea, if you'll turn there with me. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7. For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads, it shall yield no flour. If it were to yield, strangers would devour it. Has anybody ever heard this saying before? You sow into the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. It's interesting that the last few services it's been the older people that have heard this saying before. If you've heard it and you didn't know where it came from Hosea. And this verse, they have sown to the wind, now they will reap the whirlwind. It seems simple and straightforward, right? And it is, I don't deny that. But when you put it in context of the whole Bible and Christ's teachings in the kingdom of God, there is a mountain of thoughts, a mass of ideas, a host of realities to glean if you think on this for just a little while. And today we're going to try to just touch on a few. Now this verse is a negative context when you first read it. Would you agree? You've sown to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. But as I was talking over this with Brett, and the other elders at the church, Brett said, well, yeah, a warning can be taken as negative or it can be taken as a positive. And that's true. If you're driving down the highway at 75 miles an hour in the dark and you see a flashing sign that says, caution, bridge out, are you upset about that? Or are you thankful that, hey, I should stop. I should go the other way. So a warning can be a good thing. So let's take it that way. Samuel already taught, beginning in Mark, on the parable of the sower. And he taught that you will only reap what you sow, and you will reap more than what you've sown. So let's keep that in mind. As a preface to what I'm about to say or teach, I want to clarify that this teaching is not a teaching on saved by works. I want to say that again. This is not a teaching on saved by works. Okay? Here at Winter Park Christian Church, we believe you are saved by grace by placing your faith in Jesus Christ who saves your soul. End of story. Okay? So for preface to that, I'd like everyone to turn with me in Ephesians to chapter 2. Verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. Sorry, that's Philippians. That's a good verse. Sorry. Sticky got moved there. We should go ahead and read that one too. I could teach on that. That's for another day. Sorry, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for his good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, that being said, this is a teaching primarily to those of you that are professing believers that accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And this is to spur one another on. Okay? Now, Let's dive into a process that many of us take for granted. Planting a seed. Everybody take that for granted? You go to the grocery store and everything's there, right? Or maybe you shop online and it's delivered to your house. Now, I know no one in this room would fall into this category, but believe it or not, you have to plant seeds for them to grow. There isn't an app on your phone planting seeds. You click on it and you're done, right? You can't Facebook your way into it. You can't tweet it, hashtag seeds anew. You can't 3D print them. I mean, you might print seeds that something looks like a seed, but it doesn't work. And for the sake of today, let's just put aside GMOs and hydropods and all those things. Okay? That being said, let's turn to Mark. Turn back. Don't worry, we will continue on in Mark. But for today, we're going backwards a little bit. Mark 4, 1 through 9. Mark chapter 4, 1 through 9, and I repeat it so that I myself read the right one. And he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen." I want you to listen, because it says to listen. I want you to listen to the things that you need for planting and harvesting. "Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So, what are the things that you heard here? Big ideas that we need for planting and harvesting. What do we need?
Rich soil.
Rich soil. What else? What?
Water.
Gotta have water. Okay, what else?
Seed.
Seed. Not gonna have anything if you don't plant seed. Well, you might have something. We'll get to that, but you might not have what you want. So what was that? The sower. We gotta have a worker. What else?
Sun.
Sun. Gotta have sun. What else?
Lack of weeds.
Lack of weeds. Did somebody say cow dung?
Roundup.
Oh, sorry, I hear things. Roundup, okay, Roundup and cow dung. I said that one. I won't put that on anybody. We'll use fertilizer. What else? What do you have between the planting and the harvest? That gap?
Time.
There's a space of time. Good. Okay, you guys were listening. Let's talk about soil. Let's look at Hosea 10:12. Flip back to Hosea. You guys will spend more time in Hosea today than you probably ever did in your life. Except for the people that were in our life group, I guess. Hosea 10:12. "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." That's so good, I'm going to read it again. "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come in and rain righteousness upon you." Okay. I'm glad Marty Blevins is here today, because she can relate to this. I want you to picture a lush garden or a fertile farm field. Or maybe an orchard, or somebody's, I don't know what you call it, flower garden. Got that picture in your mind? It's lush, maybe it's a rainforest, maybe you're in Hawaii in one of those tropical gardens. You're walking around in it, you smell it, you see the produce, the green. It's beautiful. The birds. Okay. Now, how many of you got down on your hands and knees and stuck your fingers in the dirt and went, "Oh, it's good dirt"? See, Marty's the only one. I'm just kidding. It's good dirt. Good dirt takes work. Did you know that? Good dirt takes time. And what's in good dirt? Death. A lot of manure. Fertilizer. Decay. Wetting, drying, sunshine. Millions and billions of bacteria, worms, insects. All that's in that good dirt. But you know what? If that good dirt's overgrown, is it worth anything? No. That good dirt has to be worked. It's got to be plowed up. Now, for all of you that haven't been in the industry or grown up in it or know anything about it, you take a plow that goes deep, and it takes a deep furrow, and it rolls that ground over upside down. Now, you could put seed in that, but that plowed ground is thick and chalk and just chunks. You got to run a disc over it. That breaks up those chunks. Then you run a harrow over it. That breaks up the chunks more, and it makes it fine. And if that's fresh ground, the stumps have got to all be yanked out. You got to remove all the brush. If it's wild country, you got to get rid of all those wild animals. Then after you do all that, you remove the rocks. You roll them to the side if they're that big, or if they're smaller, you throw them. Then you level the ground. You put ditches in it. You put sprinklers. Or if you're a dry land farmer, you just hope for the Lord to provide. That's just getting ready to plant. A lot of work into that good dirt. Now, let's take this illustration and let's try to apply it to our lives. And let's ask some questions to inspect our lives and our hearts and our souls. The parable of Mark 4 shows us four kinds of soil. There's the path, the hard-packed ground. There's rocky ground. There's thorn-infested ground. And there's good soil. What kind of soil am I? Am I native ground that has never been touched? Are you native ground? You've never been plowed. You're full of brush, stumps, and wild animals. Am I soil that's been tamed but has lain fallow for a long time and needs to be plowed up and worked to be planted? Does anybody know what fallow ground is? Few people. Fallow is a farming technique in which arable land is left without sowing for one or more vegetative cycles. The goal of fallowing is to allow the land to recover and store organic matter while retaining moisture and disrupting the life cycles of pathogens by temporarily removing their hosts. Make sense? So here's the idea. It's more out where it's real dry country, especially if you go out like Craig, Colorado or West Kansas. You plow the land, and you plant it. You harvest it, and then you leave it be. You leave it alone. You wait a few years. Are you fallow ground? Have you been planted and harvested, and now you're just waiting? Perhaps you are soil that has been burned, scorched, and thin, and washed away by the storms of this life. Has anybody seen any soil like that in Grand County? We've got about 200,000 acres of it now. Or are you fertile ground, good soil, ready to accept the seeds and produce an abundant harvest? Where are you? Wherever you are on this list of soil, have you asked Christ to make and keep you fertile ground? Have you allowed Him to use the things in your life to make for a future harvest? Things that further and benefit the kingdom of God. Christ can take the horrors of this life and use them for good, for his kingdom, for his future harvests. And I would beg you that many of those harvests you may not get to see in this lifetime. There's that whole aspect of time. Let's talk about seeds. What kind of seeds are we going to plant? We're going to plant whatever we want to harvest, right? You only harvest what you plant, or you hope. So, turn with me to Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Turn with me also to 2 Corinthians 9, 6. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Okay, so we got a couple principles here. You're only going to reap what you sow, and if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, there will be a bountiful harvest. But I also want to be careful in that we know that we may also plant seeds that we don't want to harvest from. Is that true? I would also say we may even unknowingly sow seeds, both good and bad, that only time will show what was planted. Have you noticed that you don't have to plant weeds for them to grow? Has everyone noticed that? Weeds grow abundantly and easily. And not only are they annoying, they're hard to get rid of. That's why they're called weeds. It takes so much time and money and effort to get rid of weeds. And if you let down your guard for a moment, they're back everywhere. Right? You can work so hard for so long to get rid of weeds, and in one season of neglect or with outside environmental things, you can be overrun by them again. And all the previous work can feel like it was just for nothing. You ever feel that way? The hard thing with weeds also is that they can come in from the outside. My parents' farm is currently surrounded by people that either do not care or they don't know better because they just wanted to live out in the country, and they've let their weeds go crazy. And now those weeds, the seeds of those weeds, well, you know, the good news is they stop right at the fence line. My parents don't have to worry about them at all. No. Those seeds from those weeds are blowing over the fence rows. They get in the ditches. They flow down the water. And when my parents irrigate, they're putting seeds in the middle of their fields. They didn't want them. They didn't ask for them. But they're there. Weed seeds are also in the soil. They exist already. Did you know that? Put that in context of your own life. We're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And the seed of sin was planted. It's there in you. If you don't think it's there, ask your neighbor. Not right now. Later. But you know, the thing that's amazing with seeds of weeds that already exist in the soil, they can lay dormant for years and years, just waiting for the right conditions to germinate. The right amount of moisture, the right amount of soil movement, the right amount of sun, conditions. Many of those seeds, however, don't take much time to show. Do they? Those seeds of weeds, they show up pretty quickly. I recently had the opportunity to do some elk hunting around the county, and part of that hunting was out where the fires burned through. Has anybody hiked through anywhere it burned? Yeah, a few of us. It's amazing to me that it seems like what was growing back the fastest and with the most vitality was weeds. And what kind of weeds? Thistle. Thorns and thistles everywhere. It's like they don't need much soil. They don't need good soil. In fact, there was no soil. It was like they were growing out of the rocks. But they're there. And what struck me was how this is a mirror image of our own lives, or at least mine. When many times we are struck with the calamities of life or burnt to the ground, that's the first thing to come out in my life. Thorns and thistles. Perhaps it's not true of you, and I hope it's not, but feel free to pray for me. So again, we should be intentionally planting the seeds of what we want to harvest. Can we all agree with that? You plant what you want to harvest. Regardless of the weeds in the ground, weeds blowing around from the outside, we need to be sowing the seeds that we want to see a harvest from. So let's get practical and let's think. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us what seeds we have been planting. If you dare, ask your fellow Christians to show you what seeds you've been planting. Ask your leaders here at church to pray through and show you what seeds you've been sowing. I double dare you ask your spouse what seeds you've been sowing. Ask your kids, if you've got kids, what seeds you've been sowing. And ask not just what seeds you've been intentionally sowing, but ask, what seeds have you unintentionally been sowing? Because many times I think we're blinded by the fact that we don't know what we've sown. At least for me. In your walk with Christ, have you been sowing seeds that further Christ's kingdom? His kingdom or yours? Which seeds are you sowing? Have you been sowing seeds of the fruit of the Spirit? Everyone in here knows it, but let's go ahead and turn to it. Galatians 5, 22. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Are you a child or a teenager, a young adult? Are you sowing seeds of respect and honor and obedience to your parents or those that are older? Are you an employee? Are you sowing seeds of obedience and working unto the Lord and not unto man? Are you an employer? Are you sowing seeds in your employees that reflect Christ? How about this hot topic of the day? Are you a citizen? What seeds are you sowing in your community, your town, your state, your country? Do they reflect Christ? Are you sowing seeds that do not reflect Christ? And if you're sowing seeds, are you taking time and waiting? Or are you wanting and demanding a change right now? Are you a parent? What seeds have you been sowing as a parent in your house? The ones that we just talked about? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you sowing seeds for His kingdom or yours? Are you prepping the soil of the kids that are entrusted to you? Are you tending their gardens in hopes of a future harvest? Proverbs 22:6. Raise up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see the sowing and the reaping there? And what's in between? What's a key word there? When he is old. Many times we sow seeds and we want to see that harvest the next day. At least I do. I want to see the fruit now for my kids, but I need to be patient and steadfast. What seeds are you sowing in your house, even in the midst of a world throwing seeds across the fence? Throwing seeds through the door of the house. They're coming in every day, every second. Are you allowing? Maybe that's a better question. Are you allowing thorns and thistles to be sown into your family, in your house? Are you looking for them? Are you checking for them? Are you married? What seeds are you sowing in your marriage? Sowing seeds, maybe not for a harvest tomorrow, but maybe weeks, years, decades, a lifetime, maybe your kids' kids' generations. Are you sowing seeds of the fruit of the Spirit? Should I say them again? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wives, are you sowing seeds of submissiveness and respect towards your husband? Husbands, are you sowing seeds in your wife of love and sacrifice and protection? Husbands and wives together, are you sowing seeds of endurance? Are you sowing seeds of faithfulness? Are you sowing seeds of forgiveness and grace and mercy? Are you sowing seeds that reflect Christ in the church? Time and tending. When seeds are planted, what happens next? You go on vacation. Right? Maybe a short one? You wait. You wait, and you water, and you hope. And if you're a Christian, you have faith, and you pray. When those plants are growing, between planting and harvesting, what do? You tend them. You tend the plants that you want to become stronger, the plants you want to reap a harvest from. Those are the ones you take care of. When plants are mature enough, some plants need cultivating. Anybody know what cultivating is? A few people. I grew up in southern Colorado in potato country. Colorado has better potatoes than Idaho. Just get over it. We cultivate potatoes. They plant a potato plant, and when it sprouts and it gets a little bigger, they take dirt from both sides of the mound and they put it on top of that potato plant. Bury it. You wait till that sprout comes back out again. You take more dirt and you pile on top of it. And they do this several times. And I think that's a great word picture of our life. How many of you feel like you've been cultivated? You haven't been cultivated? Well, it's coming. And if you just got out of it, guess what? It's probably going to come again. But those plants that are the strong ones, they pop back out looking for the sun. Gardens or fields will need weeding. You got to weed in that time in between. Gardens and fields will need fertilization. You can use whatever word you want in your head for fertilization. Okay? Just don't say it out loud. Gardens will need protection. Anybody up here have a garden? Probably even in town, you have deer and wild animals, right? They need protection. If you don't build fences, if you're not out there with a stick or a BB gun or a paintball gun or whatever you use, take that to your life. Where of the wild animals, or as the Bible says, the wolves come in? My grandfather was a farmer his entire life. And he used to tell me how, when he was growing up, that he plowed fields with a horse-drawn plow. And then he went to landing a man on the moon in his lifetime. Isn't that cool? And when he was asked his profession by other people, he would say, well, I'm a professional gambler. And people would look at him and be like, what? And they'd push him further, and he'd say, well, I'm a farmer. I plant in the spring or the fall, and with all the odds against me, I hope for an abundant return. So we prepare the soil, we sow the seeds, we tend our gardens, and we wait. We wait. We patiently but expectantly hope and pray for a return. And not just a return, an abundant return. A harvest. There's a gentleman in our body here that once told me in regards to forestry, you have to think in decades and centuries, lifetimes. You can't just think about this summer when it comes to forestry. And I've been chewing on that for a long time now. It really stuck with me after that conversation. How does that relate to our walk as Christians? How does that relate to us as parents? How does that relate to us in our marriages? Are we so focused on the current battle that we've lost sight of the war? You could say that in our country, for those of you that that's important. The war for the souls, the war for this generation, but also the generations to follow, and the generation to follow, and the generation to follow, if God so chooses to not return yet. So, has Christ watered you with living water? Or do you feel like you're in a drought? Are you growing? Are you deeply rooted? What are you deeply rooted in? How are you being tended? Are you being fed by the Word daily or by the world? What is your main course, a meal? Are you being fed by other Christians? Do you allow weeds to be shown to you by Christ and other Christians in your life? Do you allow other Christians and Christ in your life to pull those weeds? As you are nourished and fed and tended, do you give off praise and glory to the Father? Think of a plant going through photosynthesis. Another word picture here for you. It takes in things, and what does it give off? Are you taking in? Are you giving off? What are you giving off? Let's talk about a harvest. We've plowed the ground. We've planted the seeds. We've tended it. It's sprouted. It's growing. Now it's at the point of a harvest. It's the moment we've all been waiting for, right? Does the farmer plant in vain? Does the worker work for nothing? No. You plant seeds and you expect to see fruit. The question is, what are you hoping to harvest? What have you planted? Are you expectantly waiting to be gathered to Christ in the final days as one of His? Has that seed been planted in you first and foremost? Because if that seed is not taken root, the rest of this is just, it's good works. It's nothing. Right? Turn with me in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Glad I said it again. 13. 24 through 30. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, Then do you want us to go out and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. You want to be wheat gathered into his barn? Is that your expectation? Is that your hope? Is that your longing? Or does this world look so good that it's not there yet? Perhaps sometimes it's better to work backwards and start at the end and ask ourselves, what fruit do we want to see? What harvest do we hope to glean from the field? With the realization that we will only harvest what we have planted, and what we have planted will be multiplied 30, 60, and 100 times. So what do you want to see harvested? What do you want to see harvested in your life? What do you want to see harvested in your kids' lives? What do you want to see harvested in your country, in your community? What do you want to see harvested in your marriage? Do you long for peace? What seeds must you sow? Do you long for wisdom? What seeds must you sow? Do you long for grace? What seeds must you sow? Do you long for mercy? What seeds must you sow? Do you long for patience? What seeds must be sown? Do you hope for kids that serve the Lord in His kingdom? How have you been sowing seeds in their lives? Who's educating them? What's educating them? The black box on the wall? The public school that has nothing to do with the Lord and Savior? Do you long for a marriage that glorifies Christ? What seeds must you sow? Do you long for a life when it has met its end and you want to hear, Well done, thy good and faithful servant? What seed must be sown in you, and what seeds must you sow? Now, I want to be real here that just in this life, you can sow seeds and see the harvest there. Has anybody grown up on a farm? And it can be days away from harvest. You can see it, the abundance. And the storms of life can come in. Locust, hell, fire, wind, tornadoes, flood, and destroy it. But does that mean we don't sow? Does that mean we don't hope? Does that mean we don't pray? No. We can sit by idly, and in God's providence, He will take care of everything. But we're called to be workers. We're called to be servants. In fact, it says we are bond servants. We were bought with a price. We are soldiers of Christ. We're athletes striving for a prize. None of those things are done by sitting around doing nothing. Right? So where do you want your soul to be gathered at the end of your days? Has the gospel message been planted in your life? Ask yourself. Be real with yourself today. Is your allegiance to Christ and Him alone? Is He your Lord and Savior? If He's not, don't walk away today. Don't walk away today making Him Lord and Savior. Sorry. If Jesus is your Savior, have you made him Lord of your life? Did you buy fire insurance? Or is he your Lord? Have you bowed the knee before him and served him alone? My hope is that may we all be a little more intentional about our work in Christ. And let us pray that as we come in contact with those around us, that the gospel message would spread. That we would give off seed. That we would give off, like that idea of photosynthesis, that it cannot be denied that we are followers of Christ. And as we spread seed, that we would tenderly weed, gently water, nourish, and prune. And one day we will partake in the joy of an abundant harvest before the Lord, and truly thankful and awed by all that he has done. You pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, this season of thankfulness, season of thanksgiving, which in, yes, many ways is a pagan holiday. But if there is some of the pagan holidays that we should look at, why wouldn't we take one that's thankfulness? Over and over and over again in your word, it says, be thankful. And Lord, looking back, Lord, if we could all take a moment, look through our life, and take a moment and be thankful for all those faithful believers that came before us, that sowed seed. Whether it was way back, the beginnings of the church, or even in the nearer recent history, perhaps it was a brother or a sister. Maybe it was our mom and dad. I'm suddenly reminded of my grandmother, who used to annoy me all the time. She'd want to talk on the phone and know what I'd learned about God that week. And she would end every conversation, every letter that she wrote, every Bible that she gave me is written in the back. Be there. A seed sown, be there. What seeds are we sowing, Lord God? Examine our hearts. We can throw seed, scatter it. Just throw it out there. There's nothing wrong with that. But I also think, Lord, you've called us to be a little more intentional as well. So help us to examine our own lives. Where do we need to be more intentional? Thank you for Christ. Thank you for his blood. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for buying us. Give us courage and boldness to go out from this building, Lord God. Lord, help us to equip the next generation to not just be looking in, but to be looking out. What good is it for us to be sitting in a lifeboat, watching a ship sink and people floating in the water? Yes, we should be happy and thankful that I am saved. But shouldn't we be paddling over to pull in as many as we can on the way? Lord, search our hearts. Help us to repent things that need repented. Give us the grace and mercy to do that, knowing that you are a loving God that says repent and then move on. Help us move on and be encouraged by you. In your name we pray. Amen.